Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after Pentecost is from Deuteronomy chapter 5. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Christ, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the second chapter. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him?" And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, here we are. The church holiday season is over. Christmas, Epiphany, Good Friday and Easter, Ascension and Pentecost. We have successfully celebrated them all, and now we're going to move into the long green season of the Sundays after Pentecost. And since we are going off of the epistle readings, that also means that we are at the beginning of another series of readings and sermons. This time, you will be hearing from 2 Corinthians. As you may remember, if you're familiar with 1 Corinthians, the church in Corinth struggled. And primarily what they struggled with was how to deal with each other. They couldn't quite figure out how Christians are supposed to treat each other, how they are supposed to live with each other, or other people, for that matter. And that struggle is what led Paul to write 1 Corinthians. For the next 6 weeks or so, we are going to be talking about 2 Corinthians. And while Corinth is still struggling with some issues, they're doing better at this point. Now they don't struggle quite so much with each other. Corinth is a city in Greece. It's about 50 miles west of Athens, and is one of the major ports in the nation. It is also most certainly not a Christian city, but is rather a normal Greek pagan city that is following after the Greek gods. And so, unsurprisingly, people didn't like Christians, and they persecuted them. Paul is aware of this and knows that the Christians are struggling with how to deal with these persecutions. So today, prepare yourselves as we dive into Paul's 2 letter to the Corinthians and listen to how we are but jars of clay. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have these treasures in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Christ, the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Paul never loses sight of who he is and of who God is. And he also never loses sight of what he is supposed to be saying, what he is supposed to be proclaiming. And it's really easy to do that. It's really easy to fall into the trap of telling people what they want to hear rather than telling them what they need to hear. The people almost certainly wanted to hear that everything is going to be okay, that it's going to get better, and that eventually you're not going to be suffering anymore. But that's not what Paul had to tell them. Rather, Paul had to tell them that, again, Jesus Christ is Lord, and that we are but servants. Now, make no mistake, it is of primary importance that Jesus is Lord. But it's very easy to forget that the one who spoke light, the one who created the entire world by just speaking, is still actively speaking into our lives through his word. This is why it's important for Paul to continue to proclaim Jesus. It's because that's how Jesus shines his light into our hearts, how he creates inside of us the knowledge of the glory of God, and the knowledge that we can see that glory only in the face of Jesus. This is what Paul does in all of his epistles, in all of his preaching. And this is what he will continue to do as we continue to look at him for the next couple of weeks. But it is interesting here because Paul does talk a little bit about himself as well. And he talks about how he is just a jar of clay. He talks about how even though this treasure inside of him, this light, which is the knowledge of the glory of Christ, even though that's there, he is just a normal, everyday jar of clay. And not really even that. He's actually kind of even less than that because he is a roughed up jar of clay. He has been afflicted. He's been dinged up, dented, maybe even cracked a little bit. But he hasn't been crushed. He himself has been perplexed. He's been confused. He doesn't always understand why God is doing what he's doing. But he doesn't despair. He has most certainly been persecuted. In fact, as he is writing this, he is almost certainly in jail, actively being persecuted. But he isn't forsaken. And he has been struck down. There was multiple times that Paul was almost killed for what he was preaching. But he was never destroyed. As we look at our lives, it's difficult sometimes to remember that we have this treasure inside of us. The very same treasure that Paul had inside of him. We also have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in our hearts. We know the truth. But that is hard to remember when we're suffering. It's hard to remember when the dust that God created us out of starts to fall off a little bit. When we start remembering that from dust we were created and to dust we shall return. When things don't work like they used to. When things start aching that didn't used to ache. When it gets harder to stand up, when it gets harder to move. It can be difficult to remember the truth that is inside of us. But that treasure is still there. And Paul even goes the next step here, and he says that the reason that all of that suffering is happening inside of us, the reason that death is happening inside of us, is because we are being given over to death. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. And why is that? Paul tells us that as well. So that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Now, you can take this to mean that no matter what age you are, no matter what sort of things you're suffering, that you can still share Jesus. And that is most certainly true. No matter how afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, or struck down you are, the treasure is still inside of you. And you can still share that treasure. And if people see you suffering and yet still see you trying to share that treasure, that says something to those people. But I don't think that's actually what Paul is getting at here. Because Paul is talking here about your physical body. He's talking about your mortal flesh. And so when he says that you are being given over to death so that life may be manifested in our bodies in flesh, he's talking about the resurrection. He's talking about the fact that at the end of days, even though you actually died, even though you were in fact struck down, that you will never be destroyed. The Christian is a conundrum. We are, in fact, a paradox. There's a lot of paradoxes in the Bible. A paradox is just something that human reason can't make sense of. So, for instance, our God. Somehow or another, the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Spirit is God, and yet there are not three gods, but one God. We can't make sense of that. It's a paradox. We can believe it and can trust that God knows better than we do, but we're not going to understand it. We Christians are also a paradox. The most frequent way that you'll hear us talk about this is when we talk about how we are both saint and sinner. And in some ways, that's what Paul's trying to get across to people in our reading today. But that's not quite the whole story here. Remember, the people are suffering. Paul himself is suffering. And so we shouldn't be all that surprised when people start thinking, hey, I thought I was going to have life eternal. And yet, me and all of my Christian brothers and sisters around me are dying. What's up with that? That's something we still struggle with now. Because the truth of the matter is that we don't often or even usually feel like we have life eternal. It doesn't often feel like the life that Jesus spoke into our hearts, and that every single day that goes by, that life actually does grow more and more manifest in our bodies. We don't usually see or feel that life becoming manifest in us. What we do feel on a regular basis, though, is that we are dying. Every day that goes by, we are getting closer to death. And you feel that as time goes by. And so the paradox that even though we are dying physically every single day, we also know that every single day, life is becoming more and more manifest inside of us. And again, recognize what Paul is really saying here. He's not saying that the life will manifest itself in our lives spiritually, although that is true. He's saying that it will happen physically. Paul is here saying, in effect, that we are going to die in order to prove that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection from the dead has given us that very same eternal life. When the time comes, we are all going to die unless Jesus comes back first. However, we are also all going to be raised. And when that happens, just like Jesus' resurrection proved the truth of his claims, our resurrection will also prove the truth of Jesus' claims. You are free to trust in those claims. Free to trust that when Jesus says, "You are forgiven," that you are truly forgiven. To trust that the life which is inside of you cannot be extinguished by something as weak as death. Free to hold on to the knowledge that God has spoken into your hearts. That Jesus is the face of the glory of God, and that God loves you and died for you. You are free to be those jars of clay that are holding the treasure, and free to share it with all those around you. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.